Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. Wow, time flies when you're having fun. This is the broadcast for November 6th. In the year of our Lord, 2015, this is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. In the traditions of our founders, we use the blueprint for liberty. The supreme law of the land is our guide, the Constitution for the United States of America. Never revolution, but always restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We do believe with the checks and balances inspired by the Almighty put in place by our founders, we can restore the Republic. It's a road of hope for sure, but the American people have done hard things, and we can do hard things. We can try it, ladies and gentlemen. Really quick, looks like Chris Christie and Mike Huckabee are cut from the next debates. So they're starting to narrow the field. Time will tell who does what. There will be a big old battle between Marco Rubio and Senator Ted Cruz. Time will tell. And many people are now writing that Marco Rubio is taking a page out of the Obama playbook for stumbling on the campaign trail. So that's kind of an odd twist of reality for y'all to keep kind of your eye on the ball related to. We have a very unique broadcast today. I'm not going to cover yesterday's show notes. I am going to tell you to go to thepowermall.com, though, and do business with the good guys. That's one of our great sponsors, thepowermall.com. Incredible products at your fingertips online. And when you support thepowermall.com, you support online broadcasting. AM and FM radio stations carrying the broadcast as well. LibertyRoundtable.com is our website with 25-plus unique columnists and incredible talk radio for free. We're also live and on demand, not only at LibertyRoundtable.com, but on your Roku player as well. If you happen to have a Roku, look in the special interest section for the Liberty News radio channel. Without further ado, Kirk Cosby's with me on the broadcast. Hi, Kurt.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're welcome, sir. By the way, it is a freedom loving fantastic. We're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time. Friday. And we got former Sheriff Richard Mack. I guess he's a high school teacher now, though. He's got scholars in his class. We'll talk to him in seconds. Hello, good sheriff.
Good morning. That would be Professor Sheriff.
Professor?
Professor Sheriff.
Yeah. All right.
Excellent. No, actually, I just have kept the whole sheriff thing. The scholars in my classes call me Sheriff Matt.
And the first student scholar on the radio is a gentleman by the name of Jake Roberts. Hi, Jake.
Hello.
You ready for radio?
Yes, I am.
Are you scared?
Nope.
All right. I got a question. Can we live in a country that is both free and drug-free? And that's how you started out your stand-up, stand and deliver presentation to the class, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, Sam, maybe we need to give everybody, the audience, a little background that you actually came to Levine, Arizona, and came to the class and heard the oral presentations from my scholars, from my students.
Yes, I did. I rated each presentation and gave them my score to Richard Mack. He took that under consideration as he put together their final grades as well. Kirk Cosby was in the room keeping track of everybody, too. He was stopping the darts and things from the throwing, etc.
Yeah.
But what do you think? Can we live in a country that's free and drug free?
I don't think so. No.
No. No way to get rid of drugs, huh?
If you're a free country, no, there's no way.
Do you want drugs?
Do I want drugs?
Yeah.
Or marijuana legalized.
You want marijuana legalized?
Yes, sir.
For everybody, or for medical, or for what?
Everybody.
So you've got to just be like smoke pot nation.
Basically.
Why?
God made it.
Okay, God made it. Why do you think we ought to have legalization of marijuana? Won't that just lead to deeper drugs and more drugs and such?
It'll make less criminals, one.
Wow. All right.
Good point. Wow.
It's also, if it's legalized, the wrongful convictions of everyday people who walk by every day, they wouldn't be convicted for having it. So that'll open up your prisons more too.
Well, let me ask something there, and maybe I need to
let everybody know. First, I have to ask, Jake, do you want to make it legalized so you can use marijuana?
No.
You're not after to get high every weekend and go to partying and whatnot. In fact, you're not even a partier at all, are you?
No, God's my only party, sir.
You don't want to get high and just roll into Max class, huh?
Nope.
That's right. A good point. That's really a good point, Jake.
Now, you know,
good line.
You know that song about marijuana, too, because I got high, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, the guy was going to do all these awesome things, and then he got high, and he didn't, right?
Yeah.
Won't it make everybody just lazy?
Well, I mean, there's no proof that it makes you lazy.
All right. There's all kinds of misconceptions out there. Won't everybody just laugh and eat pizza all day?
Well, some people can get jobs done.
Get jobs done?
Yeah. If they had to, if they had something they'd do, they can do it.
Okay. So what do you think is going to happen in this debate? We've seen things change a lot over the last couple of decades, if you will, with regards to marijuana. It used to be like not even considered. Now people are really realizing that, hey, it isn't worse than alcohol. There are some medicinal benefits. It is impossible to keep everybody and their dog in prison. We're one of the greatest prison nations, primarily because, you know, people are criminals if they have some marijuana or have some drugs. And that war on drugs has got to stop. So things are changing. What do you think the future holds, Jake?
I think the future holds. I think I can see a day before I even die that marijuana is legalized. It just has to come down to people actually being convinced of that thing.
Right. Now, you brought up in your presentation one cool thing. You brought up some historical facts that most people don't know. It had to do with controlling markets, and it had to do with hemp, which hemp isn't even marijuana, right?
Yeah, true.
So tell me about this then. DuPont used manipulation to control the markets?
Yes. At the time that DuPont had, you know, I don't know the guy's name, but he was up and coming. Hemp was already used for everything. And so when he found ways to make those things synthetically, synthetic rubbers and oils, hemp was already the dominant in that market.
So you know what, Jake?
He went around telling people about this thing called marijuana and told them it was a drug that caused schizophrenia. And so when people signed the bill, they didn't realize that they had just made hemp, you know, illegal, and they thought, you know, it was the same thing. Hemp and marijuana were the same thing when they really weren't.
Okay, so hemp and marijuana are drastically different. Many things used to be made out of hemp. Believe it or not, the seat you probably sit on in your car, and the innards of it, if you will, the bouncy part, etc., is probably hemp. We have to import that currently. What's fascinating to me about that whole discussion is when you say we move to the synthetics, oils, and etc., what's fascinating to me about that is this. Where were the environmentalists to protect hemp at that point, huh?
Exactly. You know, the stuff that they use to make that all the chemicals in it is what causes cancer. You can find trace of the cancer in those chemicals that makes those rubbers and oils.
All right. What do you think has been the funnest thing Max done in class?
The funnest thing he has done in class?
Yeah.
I don't know. He likes to waste time.
I just moved you to a B, sir.
It's fun in his class. It's just the thing is... A lot of times I'll find it frustrating if we're doing something and he stops and makes like 5 minutes of jokes about something and just at that point I'm just like, come on, I want to get it done. Then we're going to have fun, you know?
All right. Now,
I do appreciate him taking time, you know, stop class and stuff like that.
I'm going to use a term and I want your response. It isn't drugs when I say this, by the way. Richard Mack did not bring drugs to class, but he did bring ice, baby, right?
He brought a bottle of hemp lotion.
All right, yeah, I felt that. When one gal sprayed that in my hand, it was pretty, smelled good, too.
Yeah.
By the way, though, we brought ice to class, right?
Yeah, ice. I missed that day.
Oh, man.
But I heard about it. I heard it was really fun. They were talking about one of our colonists, they had to go surround the Hessians, and they were down in their luck, and they didn't want to do it. They were tired, and then George Washington gave him The American Crisis, written by Thomas Paine, who was a really phenomenal, you know, fascinating speech that he wrote. And that inspired them, and they walked across the ice with their feet bleeding and stuff like that, freezing cold temperatures, and they persevered.
All right, Jake, my friend, do you remember the class motto?
I can try.
All right, we can try to get rid of this bogus war on drugs, and we can let people be free to choose as they will. And whether you like or dislike marijuana is not the point. The fact is hemp has incredible uses that we, the people in America, are missing out on. And we should have a candid discussion about these issues without propaganda, without lies like you're going to go schizophrenic, like the deception of the big corporations. What are you saying?
Without Nancy Grace, too.
All right. There you go. Jake, give a shout out to the world. What would you tell the world if you had 10 seconds?
If I had 10 seconds? Jesus saves.
Amen, brother. Thank you so much, Jake. Great work, sir.
Thank you.
All right, Richard, you need to give that guy an A. Everybody else needs to chill while I grab the next scholar on your radio. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite news the networks refuse to use. We're taking America back one heart, one issue at a time Friday.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, former Sheriff Richard Mackey wants to be called, what, wasting time? Is that what they said? Oh, I think he wanted to be like some kind of a professor. All right. Good luck with that, Sheriff. But we have scholars on the radio, ladies and gentlemen, student high school scholars that are talking about their presentations. They developed a paper regarding a topic of their choice. They wrote the paper, turned it in, and gave a stand and deliver speech about their paper. And then they got subjected to questions to myself, Sam Bushman, who traveled to Arizona for the event. I was able to query them and ask them questions and learn about it and listen. And I was able to rate their presentations. And then Sheriff Richard Mack took all that, created their grades. It was a phenomenal experience, by the way. These young men and women certainly deserve to be considered scholars because they have researched their topics, and many of them were surprising at how well they knew their topics, about their presentations, and more. So I call up the next scholar. I can't say her last name, but her name is Marion. I called up and I said, Mary, did you know that you're on the radio next? And she said she did, Sheriff.
Yeah, she's a real good scholar, student, applies herself in everything. She's in student council. She's really just a phenomenal student. I love her in class, and we have a great time. And she always has her work done. She always has something to add, and she doesn't mind that I call her Harry.
All right, Mary, I'm not going to call you Harry, but your last name is Niedrigal, is that right?
Niedrigal, yes.
Niedrigal, all right. So you started out your presentation by dropping a book on the ground and making everybody sleep and jump, right?
Yes, I did.
And then, hey, no one got shot at least, that's the good news. But everybody did wake up. Now, here's what I found fascinating. As you researched your topic, you said at first you were going to talk about police brutality, but then you changed as you studied, and you really wanted to talk about the way cops violate the Constitution, which includes brutality as part of it. I thought that very insightful because as you studied, you gained knowledge, right?
Yes. Actually, I believe I have found knowledge that a lot of police officers lack nowadays.
All right.
Wow. Hey, that was a powerful statement. That was good, Mary. Thank you.
You have gained knowledge that police officers don't seem to have nowadays. Which is sad to say, but I think it really points out the truth. Now, you talked, believe it or not, you then went into case law being the problem.
Well, it's not necessarily the case law. It's how the police officers are taught and what they follow. For instance, the Constitution is not focused on nearly as much as it should be during an officer's training. And even though they may learn it, Constitution, especially things like the 4th and 14th Amendment, which secure our rights and our rights to privacy especially, they tend to enforce the law no matter what, even if it may be unconstitutional. They don't protect our rights, they enforce the law.
Is that acceptable to you?
No, of course not.
All right,
that's
just making sure.
Not what they should be doing.
What do we do about it, Mary?
Well, the first thing we can do is alter the training in the first place. Do a little bit more research, get them to know what they're actually protecting, and make sure they know that they're supposed to be protecting our rights instead of enforcing the law. Let's see.
By the way, Mary, did you know that your teacher, former Sheriff Richard Mack, is the leader, the president of an organization? He's the founder and president of what's called the CSPOA. That stands for the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. The website is CSPOA.org, and the whole organization is designed to do what you're proposing.
I believe I have heard him talk about that once or twice in class.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, huh?
It is.
We got to stop violations of our rights in general, said Mary in her presentation. I took that down in my notes. You also talked about we need to change the way our cops are trained. One word that comes to mind for me is de-escalation training. In other words, we need to teach them not to just go trigger happy and get violent and think they're like top cop boss in charge of everybody. Maybe a little stand down, step back, assess the situation's in order, huh?
Absolutely. So I spoke to Chief Chigoya, Deputy Chief Paul Chigoya of the Maricopa County for my interview. And when I asked him, what all do you focus on in training, he listed off a couple of topics. Law and legal, use of force, firearms, traffic laws, tax law, constitutional law and tactics. If you listen to that well enough, you'll be able to hear that. A lot of that is focused on how to fight and the laws in general. And the constitutional laws was not one of the big ones.
Amen to that. I think one of the important points you made in your presentation is this. Cops are not really here to enforce the law. Rather, they're here to protect our rights. And I think that's a huge distinction. And I think that's one of the crux of the training changes that need to be made.
I would like to make a point that because we no longer have militias necessarily, like they did back during the Revolutionary War. The counties and cities are the last barrier between the people and the government, and that includes the police. So the police are the last barrier between us and the government before we have to protect ourselves.
Believe it or not, Sheriff Richard Mack even has a training seminar, and we had a whole event called Erecting the Barriers to do just that as well. Man, I think she's learning the information from your class, good Sheriff.
Wow.
It's just awesome.
I couldn't have said it better myself, but she has researched that on her own. Her statement about those barriers was all her own. That was not from me.
That's amazing.
That's the research she has done. So, hey, Mary, tell everybody the number one rule in class and then tell us the motto.
The number one rule in class is that I can try, and then we have recently added I will succeed.
There you go. Good work. That was phenomenal. Now she brings up the David Clark event where he came to town and spent time with the scholars. How did you like that, by the way, Mary?
That was a lot more motivational. Honestly, I would have liked to hear a little bit more about why he thought about going, what was going on in the country. But that's just me and my intellectual need for knowledge.
What's the funnest thing you've done in class with a good sheriff?
That's kind of hard. I'm tempted to say walking on ice, which we did recently, but that kind of hurt my feet.
Now, why did you walk on ice? You took off your shoes and literally walked on ice?
Oh, yeah. He dumped a whole bunch of bags of crushed ice on the field in a nice little walkway. And each of the students took off all their socks, all their shoes, and was asked to walk across the ice for 10 seconds to represent the people who walked across the ice, the general Washington during the Revolutionary War at the Battle of Trenton.
Wow. Talk about putting things into reality and giving people a taste, a reality. I mean, most classes never going to do stuff like that, Mary.
Sheriff Mack is an extraordinary teacher.
All right. I know she's looking for an A now. I can sense it.
She already has an A, so she can't get much higher than she already is.
All right. Do you have any constructive criticism for the sheriff?
For the sheriff?
Yeah.
I think he's doing his job perfectly.
All right. You think he ought to just sit down and let you teach a class or two?
Well, I think I'm going to.
As that would be, I think I will leave sheriff to do that.
You'll leave it to the sheriff, huh? All right. Well, hopefully this will be one of the most memorable years in your educational life as a scholar. And I'm grateful that you've taken this seriously. And I do agree with you that police brutality is certainly a problem. But I like to see it put into the larger scope of how police officers deal with the Constitution and their obligations under the Constitution, primarily how we stop violations of our rights, and most importantly, cops are not here to enforce the law, but to protect our rights. Mary, in 10 seconds, what would you tell the world?
I do not have anything to think about, so I don't have anything to say, really.
All right. Thanks so much, Mary. Great job. We appreciate you.
All right, thank you.
All right, my response to all the cops, not on my watch. Quick pause. Thanks, Mary.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Hi, Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, man, we're going from guest to guest as former Sheriff Richard Mack rides shotgun and co-hosts the show with Sam Bushman and Kurt Cosby. We've got student scholars on the radio. Sam and Kurt had the opportunity, as we told you, to go down to Arizona and listen to these scholars stand and deliver their presentations. It was an oral presentation based on papers they had written regarding political topics of their choice. It was incredible to behold and to be part of. Now we've got some of these specifically selected scholars to come on the radio and talk about their topic. And I'm telling you right now, Mary did a phenomenal job. Jake Roberts did a phenomenal job. Third up to bat, what is it? Antonio Pantoja. Is that how you say it, Antonio?
Yes.
All right.
His name is Pantoja.
Pantoja. All right.
Pantoja.
All right, sorry, I'm just not good at that kind of stuff. I only speak one language. I'm not educated enough for two like some of you folks. Now, Antonio, was it a scary project for you? Was it hard to stand up and speak?
Yes, I had a little trouble because I tend to get nervous when I'm talking in front of a lot of people.
Does Richard Mack make you nervous?
Nah.
All right, it was Kurt Cosby that made you nervous, I know. He's an intimidating kind of guy.
Yes.
Now, you started out your presentation by talking about the 18th Amendment. What the heck? Which one's that one?
Well, the 18th Amendment was the First Amendment they used to ban alcohol, so because a lot of people were drinking it and they didn't want that. So they banned it, so they made the 18th Amendment. But people still kept doing it like they do with drugs. And so they decided to just reappeal the 18th Amendment because it wasn't working of banning alcohol. So after they did that, that's how the 18th Amendment became known.
Why do you think it was a failure? Do you think we should have just had more government? We could have had a cop for every citizen to make sure they didn't drink, right?
Yeah, but we don't have enough cops for every citizen. Oh, good
point.
Watching them to make sure, see what they're doing and everything. And so I don't think it would have worked because people have wants and things that they want to do to their body and decisions that they want to do. And drinking alcohol, if that's what they want to do, they should be allowed to do that because that has nothing to do with the government. And they shouldn't be trying to take control of our bodies, of what we put in and out of our bodies.
Now, you even quoted John Adams in your speech, right?
Yes.
And what did he say on the subject?
what he said on the subject was that government is instituted for the common good, for the happiness of the people, and not for profit, honor, and private interest of any one man, family, or class of men. John Adams.
All right. Ooh. I love it.
Yeah.
Because you then broaden that topic to this illegal war on drugs and the status of illegal for drugs currently. You okay with drugs being illegal?
I mean, yeah, because it's not going to really help because we're still making laws to keep it illegal, but it's not working because people are still taking it, people are still selling it and everything, so might as well just go for it. I mean, it's not going to work. People are going to keep doing it and doing it.
Now, you say we have a right to put what we want into our bodies. Is that really what you believe to be a right, or is it just that you want to get high and go to Richard Mash class? Is that the deal?
I think that's a right. I mean, it's what you choose, what you believe in, everything. It's like your religion. You can believe whatever religion you want, the government can control your religion. So it's kind of like drugs. You can put whatever you want in your body, and it's basically what you choose.
Now, it's strange to me, this topic about drugs was kind of the hottest topic for students to pick. Do you think they picked it because it's an easy topic, or why do you think people are so passionate about this?
I think they're so passionate about this because some of them might have done it before, and they just want to talk about how maybe how bad it is or how healthy it is or something like that, because there's many good uses for drugs. Like, some of them were, let me find it. like ecstasy. Ecstasy helps PTSD and reduces anxiety. And marijuana, it helps relieve nausea and cancer. Heroin is one of the world's greatest pain reliever. And it just overall, like, it can help you a lot. But I think that's why it's such a big topic, because it's important and we won't stop on trying to make it illegal.
So are you talking about legalizing it just for medicinal or, you know, medical purposes, or are you doing it because you think that, hey, everybody should be free to do what they want?
I think everybody should be free to do what they want, but, like, there should be certain limits to what they do.
Well, Sam, I need to interject here.
Sure.
Again, Antonio does not use drugs, nor does he want to use drugs. He's one of the most well-mannered, well-educated students in all of my classes, and he has wonderful parents, wonderful family. He is a good man. He is a good person. I love him in class. He's always on task. He's always doing what he's asked to do. He's friendly. He's outgoing. And we have a great time together in class, and his parents have raised a very good son.
Excellent. One of the biggest reasons that I think the war on drugs is a failure and the illegal status of drugs is such a problem is because we've created the largest prison population of any country in the world. And really, drugs are at the heart of this. And what happens is, instead of someone being able to support their family, or be home with their children and or whatever, they get put behind bars, incredible cost to the taxpayers. They lose their ability to be productive citizens, etc. All over this idea that somehow the government can control everybody. Good luck with that, Antonio.
Yeah.
All right, now you make one other point that I want to kind of get to, then I want to get into what you think of the good sheriff as a teacher. Where is their authority, and under what jurisdiction can they ban drugs? Those were two questions you had that I think are critical to this discussion. Where do they get the authority? And where's the jurisdiction for their control of drugs? Is it in the Constitution, Antonio?
No, because they have no jurisdiction to ban drugs, because that's not something they should be doing. They're not here for that. They're just like one of our founding fathers said, if people let the government decide which food they eat and the medicine they take, their bodies will soon be in as sorry as a state are as the souls that of these who live under tyranny. Thomas Jefferson.
I love it. He whips out a Thomas quote. All right, what's your favorite or funnest thing you've done in the class with the good sheriff?
I think the funnest thing we've done out of everything is when he put a bunch of ice outside and made us walk across it barefooted to represent to us with the soldiers during the Revolutionary War at the Battle of Trenton, had to endure for 20 miles to get there.
And how far did you go? 10 feet?
Maybe a little less, like 5 feet.
Yeah, but it gives you a taste, doesn't it? It makes it real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Do you have any constructive criticism for the sheriff as an instructor, as a teacher, as a professor?
I think he's a great teacher. I really like your class, Sheriff Mac.
What's the first rule of your class? Do you remember?
The first rule?
Yeah.
I can try.
All right. Now, David A. Clark Jr., the big black sheriff, came. Did you enjoy that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was really interesting and fun to meet.
He added on to that I can try message, didn't he?
Yeah. He said, I will succeed.
What do you think of that for your class? You'll remember that. I can try and I will succeed. Those are some pretty bold statements for life, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We have the right to put what we like into our bodies. Several of you guys worked on talking about the legalization of drugs. Where did you turn to for most of your study on this? Where did you get all your info?
I got all my info from medication websites about drugs, and like another one was topics about like ideas of what the police have against and the government have against drugs. Like, I forgot what website it was called, but it was a website that has just reasons for why the government wants to ban it and all that, and the reasons why they don't want to ban it at the same time. And that's where I just got most of my information from.
All right. Do you think they ought to have an age limit for drugs like they do alcohol right now? I mean, should there be any restrictions?
Like, we should be allowed to drink alcohol as long as we still have our restrictions, like no drinking and driving and no, like, being over the legal alcohol limit, just things like those.
If we legalize pot, you know, and everybody can get stoned, do you think we'll have increased pizza sales? Maybe I ought to get into the pizza business.
I think something is.
All right. If you could tell the world anything you wanted, Antonio, in 10 seconds, what would you tell the world?
That everyone can try, and that you should always try your hardest.
Antonio Pantova, ladies and gentlemen, scholar, stand-up speaker. He delivered to Sheriff Richard Mack and Sam and Kurt while we were in Arizona. Now he does it on the radio. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. The next scholar is coming up in mere seconds. You are listening to your favorite talk show, Liberty Roundtable, live with the good sheriff. Now we're supposed to call him Professor. Did you know that?
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test, free, scientifically proven today.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, and the good sheriff. He wants to be called Professor. I don't know if we call him Professor Spock or what. Kurt, what do you think about this stuff, man? We got all these scholars on the radio talking about drugs, talking about all kinds of issues. They come up with their own issues. I'm impressed with the topics they've selected. They're hot topics in America, every one of them, Kurt.
Well, you're exactly right, Sam. And, you know, it's interesting to see the effort that they put out. You know, we applaud any improvement in our society and, you know, having the students, or as we call them, the scholars, participate in these areas, you know, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it gives you confidence in the next generation, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, our next scholar coming up, he's got three hard acts to follow, so he's up to bat. He better hit this one out of the park. Darius Alexander, he started out quoting "I Have a Dream" from memory. Impressive. Hi, Darius.
Hello.
Welcome to Liberty Roundtable, sir. You provided several examples of African Americans who became educated and who have actually made something of themselves. And I think that really points to what we need more of in America. People just deciding they can have a dream. They can be somebody. They can try and they can succeed. And you pointed that out. Who is your favorite example from your speech?
I would probably say Elijah McCoy. Since he started out as a fireman and an oil constructor, but later on, he became an inventor and a mechanical engineer, which is officially my profession now.
Which is your profession again?
Mechanical engineer.
Wow, you're going to be a mechanical engineer. Good for you. You're well on your way, my friend. Now, I think Ben Carson's a great example. He's got a book out. He's running for president, a well-known conservative, et cetera. He'd be a pretty good example, right?
Yep.
All right. Now, you also talked about the patent office, which I found fascinating. Whenever people research a topic and then they bring up something that kind of surprises me a little bit that it's related, but you made it quite succinct. What does the patent office have to do with your point?
Well, first, let me point out that the patent office is a place where people bring their invention to put their name under it so they can call it their invention. And so I believe, or a theory that I have, is African Americans who are well inventors back in the 1800s believed to show these inventions to their master, and the masters were fascinated by it. And so for them to get recognized, I believe they went to the U.S. Patent Office to put it under their name.
And a lot of times the point is the masters back in the day would steal the invention, take credit, and get rich off the African-Americans' invention.
Yes.
In other words, stealing intellectual and private property, virtually.
Yes.
All right. What was the most important thing you learned along the way?
The most important thing that I learned is, this is not necessarily going to African-Americans, if I can expound on the subject, is that U.S. government, as I said before, is brainwashing people to act, think, and talk like them. So people in our society today, all they want is money. And if they get money, they'll have the government do or tell them to do whatever they want to do. So they'll believe the government and talk like them and act like them, when they should officially go and research it for themselves and see what really happened back then.
Can I tell you something fascinating that you probably don't know, but I think it's completely relevant here? And that is this. If you are a blind person, which I am, in other words, I don't know, can't see, the more educated people are, the more they sound like each other. In other words, you can tell a lot of difference in people. But when they are educated and they speak eloquently, you can't tell the difference between a black person and a white person or anybody else. They just come across as well-spoken and educated and informed on a given topic. I find that fascinating. Do you think that relates?
Yeah, that does relate.
Why?
Well, because...
Well, I think Sam, that I can answer that pretty good. Darius is a typical example of what he's talking about. He really studies hard. He does well in class. He's well behaved. He's well mannered. And you did not know what color that Darius.
I still don't know, and I don't really care. But I'm trying to make a point about education, right?
Well, of course. And he's a typical example of that, too. He applies himself. He works hard. He gets rid of the stereotypes as soon as you meet him. And he's a very obedient and cooperative scholar. And that he's going to be a mechanical engineer doesn't surprise me at all. And he will be successful in life because he understands our class motto. And our class rule, the number one rule in class. Darius, what is that?
I can try.
And why don't you tell everybody what the motto is, too?
Oh, wait. You're talking about the one that Sheriff Clark gave us?
Well, that's his replacement for mine, but I'm talking about the Cinderella motto.
Oh, it's in the back of my head right now.
Have courage, my friend.
Have courage and be kind.
And be kind. There you go.
What did it? Now you brought up Sheriff Clark. What did Sheriff Clark say?
He said, "I will succeed."
I will succeed.
Did you like Sheriff Clark?
Yes, I did. He was a very intelligent man.
By the way, that's another example of what you're talking about right there, right?
Yeah, it is.
Now, one of the things that I really was impressed with about your stand and deliver speech was you made this point. And I think we really, in America, need to spend a whole lot more time on this point and a whole lot less on the racial strife that seems to permeate our culture for some sad reason. But here's the point you made, and I absolutely triple down and concur with it. You said this. They, meaning African Americans, can become important and successful in their own right if they take matters into their own hands. In other words, take charge of their lives, of their education, of who they want to be, of their behavior, of their attitudes, of their thought process, of their I can try and I can succeed models, of their have courage and be kind ideas, and they can be something if they decide that they're going to do it and take matters into their own hands. I think that's one of the most empowering messages that can be delivered in America today for anybody.
Yeah. Well, what I think about that subject is, you know, there is African Americans that are put into social media, but I think they're put into social media for the wrong reason, like disrespecting teachers, for example, getting arrested by cops. That's mainly what African Americans think of themselves, but that's not really what we are. We're very intelligent people. That's what they need to notice right now in this country.
Well, and they need to deliver the empowerment message of that you can take matters into your own hands. In other words, you're in charge of your own destiny. America can let people dream that dream, but it's up to people to seize the day, right?
Yes, it is.
All right. Now, I want to point out one last interesting thing about race. And again, I hope this isn't offensive, but I want to make this point so people understand. I'm a blind person, as you know, Darius, right?
Yes.
Okay. I don't really know what color I am. People tell me that I'm white. People tell me that my friend, Sheriff David A. Clark Jr., is black. But I have no way to know that's a fact. I just have to trust people. Isn't that an interesting idea that I can be somebody? I'm a nationally syndicated, well-known talk show host and public speaker across the country. I don't even know what color I am, man. And if that doesn't empower people to say you can be somebody, I don't know what does, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't really believe, like, say, for example, yeah, you're a blind person. I don't think people should look at what color or race you are or what ethnicity you are. They should pay attention to your personality and how much you work and life to make you a better person.
Well, of course, it is the content of your character. I'm just making a point that when you don't even know what color you are, that makes it really hard to have an opinion on that, doesn't it?
Yes,
it is. If somebody shakes my hand and they're kind to me and they seem to have good values in their lives, instead they're respectful, they're on time, they're all the things that make up for valuable in life, then they're a friend of mine. And if they're not, I don't want anything to do with them. I don't care who they are.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's how it is. All right, what have you learned? What's the most important thing you've learned in Richard Mack's class, and what's been the funnest thing you've done?
The most important thing I've learned is probably Patrick Henry's
Buddy.
Give me liberty or give me death. That really put a lot of emphasis on his class and what it's about.
And the funnest thing you've done?
And the funnest thing, probably the ice that we had to walk through out on our football field.
All right, the ice was very cool indeed. If you could tell the world something in 10 seconds, what would you say to the whole world, Darius, my friend?
I would say just work at where it's for your own benefit. I mean, you can help other people. That's a great thing, help other people, but don't discourage yourself in any way. Just make you a better person and society a better person.
Thank you, sir. Darius Alexander. Quote, I have a dream from memory. When he gave his speech, he delivers on the radio. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
And one of the most important pieces I can think of is, you know what? If you want to be somebody, take matters into your own hands and take charge of your education. Take charge of who you are. Take charge of your behavior, your thoughts, your actions, your demeanor. And man, you can be somebody in America. That's the American way. Thank you, sir. Hour one of the can, two coming up, libertyroundtable.com. This nation shall endure.